Speaking on this program is Brother Kevin Key.
As we think in regard to being a father, good people, there is nothing that even comes close to being comparable to being a father. In fact, whenever Dawn and I first got married, I remember telling people that we were going to wait 5 years before we started to have children. 2 months after we were married, Dawn became pregnant. And we were going about then trying to explain to people, well, we didn't make it our 5 years, obviously. And then at that time, after I had gotten over the shock of all that, we started to prepare to buy the crib and to decorate the room, and everything started to focus upon the birth of our first child. And then whenever Trent was born, I remember holding him in my arms for the first time and thinking how small he was and how fragile he looked, and that I was afraid that if I did the wrong thing that I might actually drop and break him. And then to be able to bond with this little baby and to realize that this child was brought forth because of the love that a husband and wife had and shared with each other, and that this love would continue on, not only during the course of our life, but also through the life of this child and our subsequent children. But good people, also, when we think in regard to nothing comparing to being a father, that excitement of being called Dada and Daddy and Dad. I remember when Trent and even Miranda first uttered that term, Dada. And I'm not sure that that literally is a word. Maybe we've made it into a word with our children. And hearing Dada for the first time, just cold chills went all down my body and through my spine. And then two, as they started to get a little bit older, it went from being Dada to being Daddy. And as we went through Walmart and various other places, Daddy, can I have this? Daddy, can I have that? Daddy, what do you think about this or that? And then as they've gotten much older and into their teenage years, it was no longer Daddy, but Dad. Dad, do you have a dollar? Or Dad, can I have gas money and things of that nature? To be a Dada or a Daddy or Daddy is just amazing, isn't it? But also, good people, the thrill of watching them grow. To see them develop as what our God has designed them to do, as well as to understand them as they go through the learning process, as they go through the educational programs there at school, and to see the light come on in their mind as they study and train to be productive citizens here in this world, but then too in the body of Christ, to see our children go to Bible class and to sit in on the sermons and to see these children develop into the type of people that God certainly would be pleased with. And then as they've outgrown the home and to take on for themselves families and homes of their own, to see these kids become adults and productive citizens here in society. But then also, good people, there's nothing comparable to being a father and understanding the opportunity to love our children, but then in like figure, to be loved by our children. Today, Dawn and I have been married 24 years. June the 19th, 1987. She said, I do. And I said, I do. And we meant that forever. And last evening, we were blessed to have Trent and Amanda come over to be with Dawn, myself, and Miranda, and share an evening with each other. And on Friday, Dawn told me, she says, the kids have something special they're going to do. I thought to myself, how could anything be any more special than having them here together? Last night, our kids made us homemade pizza, Dawn's favorite, and hot fudge cake with ice cream, my favorite, for our anniversary. To love and to be loved by our children. What a beautiful opportunity that is in life. As we think in regard to being a father, and being children. God has certain things that He wants the family to understand. And dads, I hope and pray that maybe you got a card and maybe even a gift along with that card today. But in all of that, you and I realize that the greatest gifts that we can receive are not from a monetary standpoint. They are not the things that this world can buy. Kids, today I tell you that certainly the greatest gifts we can have, God identifies in the Bible for us. And family, make certain that you always love your father. In the book of Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 16, the children were commanded to honor their father and mother. And good people, the understanding there in regard to the honoring is to make certain that we love our fathers and our mothers. But today, more specifically to the lesson, to the father. And kids, certainly today, make certain that you express in a very big way, in the ways that you're able to do so, to tell your father, to identify to your father, to you dad, how much you love and appreciate him. But let me tell you this. God wants us to realize that Father's Day and Mother's Day, I said, is more than just one day a year. It ought to be every single day. And the kids are saying, are you saying that I need to take a gift to dad every day? No, not from a buying standpoint or from a monetary standpoint. But the gift of love, by all means, we ought to express and we ought to give every single day. How many times throughout the course of a year do you tell your dad and do you express how much you love your father? Family, always make certain that you love your father, and then in like figure, that you honor your father. In Exodus chapter 12 and verse 12, or Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12, in the giving of the law to the children of Israel, God commanded them that they were to honor their father and mother. And what does it mean to honor father and mother? Good people, it means that we are to think about, that we are to appreciate all that our father has done for us. And not only to recognize this within ourselves, but then in like figure to express to them on a continual basis how much certainly we realize that they have done and sacrificed on our behalf. And for that reason then, that we are certainly grateful for everything that they have and continue to do in our lives. But then in like figure, we are to honor them by our actions. Our godly parents, our fathers, have spent their life hopefully and seeking to train us according to the ways of God. And kids, the greatest thing that you can do there in relation to honoring your father is to live your life faithful to God, to give your life to God, and then to make certain that you're walking according to the precepts that God has laid down for us. And then in like figure, in conversation, make certain that as you engage in conversation with your father, that you honor him. That as you speak to him, that he recognizes that certainly you do love him and that you do honor him as your father. But not only as you speak to him, as you speak about him to others. Don't down or dog your dad. Look to him and appreciate him for who he is and what he has done. But then also, kids and family, make certain that you listen to your dad. In Proverbs 22 and verse 6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he shall not depart from it. You are in training. And as kids, there is so much that you do not know as little kids, and then as teenagers, you begin to think that you know a lot more, and then as you go into early adulthood, you then begin to think, well, I know it all, and then before we know it, we wake up and realize in reality how much we do not know and how much our parents truly did know and still does know. Your father and your mother. But today, your father is like a walking library. You say, Kevin, how do you know that? You may not have spent much time with my dad. How do you know that he's a walking library? If he is old enough to have you as a child, he has lived life and he has all of this valuable information of the pros and the cons, the things that he has done right, as well as the mistakes that he has made. And I will guarantee you that as a Christian father, he does not want to see you make the mistakes that he has made. And for that reason, he stands willing and ready to share how that you cannot repeat his mistakes. He wants to share with you the lessons that he has learned. as well as whenever it comes to the things that He has been able to accomplish and to do right. He wants to be able to share these things with you. And kids, today, check Him out. Listen to what it is that He has to say. Because someday you may not have your Father, this library, to plug into. Listen to Him, and then also listen to obey Him. In the book of Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, the Apostle Paul commands that the children are to obey their parents, to do what the parents command or what the parents expect them to do. And kids, understand that whenever God issues this through the Apostle Paul, He's not suggesting that children obey their parents, but rather He is commanding that kids obey their parents, that they look to their fathers, their godly fathers, and to realize that their fathers are indeed seeking to lead them according to the direction that God wants you to go. And for that reason, kids, listen intently, and then as you understand these things, then apply these standards to your everyday walk of life. Certainly, as a family, we have responsibilities to the Father. And then fathers also understand that in the eyes of your kids, you are Super Dad. You are it. They look at you and they put you on a pedestal. They look at you and in most cases they think that you can do no wrong. And in all these things we need to understand concerning the direction that God commands us to look to in relation to being a father. As we think about being a father, fathers, we need to make certain that you and I are mature. Only those who are mature should enter into marriage. Why? Because marriage takes a joint effort on the part of the husband as well upon the part of the wife. But then in like figure, you and I understand that there are three who figure into the equation. And as Christians, we realize that it's husband and wife as well as Christ and His church. And those who are mature must enter into marriage. And then in like figure, those who mature, good people, they will turn out to be responsible parents. They will turn out to be a responsible father. In all of this, we need to understand that God expects us to always make certain that we are indeed mature. We also need to make certain that we are a man. And somebody says, what do you mean, Kevin? My gender, certainly I am a male. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not talking about also being a man the way in which the world looks at being a man, to where you're muscular and that you're able to go out and to live like the world lives, and people look at you and you say, yeah, you're the man. That's not what I'm talking about today. Be a man and understand concerning the responsibilities that we have pertaining to our family. We are the provider and the protector for the family. And I am saddened today whenever I look out into the world, not in the church for the most part, but into the world, and to see that some fathers who will father children, they do not have the backbone to be a man. You say, Kevin, what do you mean? In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 19, God commanded, whenever man had sinned against Him, He says that man shall till the ground, and by the sweat of his brow we shall earn our keep. God expects us men to step forward and to make certain that we are doing all that is within our power to do, all that we can do to provide for our family. In fact, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 10, it says that if a man will not work, neither shall he eat. And those fathers need to understand this principle that God has laid down, is that those who will not work, those who will not provide for their families, that they are not deserving of being able to eat themselves. And the interesting thing of that is, dads, is that those who will not work, those who will not provide for their families, not only do they suffer, that meaning the man himself, the family also suffers. How does God look at that? We understand, as is taught in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8, that the man who will not provide for his own is worse than an infidel. He's worse than an unbeliever. And dads, let's make certain that we are always men, that we are doing all that we can do, and to realize that God is working with us in this respect to provide for our families. But also, let's be a dad. in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 through 9. We need to do is what the fathers of the children of Israel were expected to do, and that is to spend time, to spend quality time with our families. In this, I went this last Thursday to eat at Ming's, as I had a conversation with Roger Byers on Wednesday night about the two Chinese restaurants in town that I had tried, Sentosa, which I'm a big fan of, and that I had gone to Ming's, but just wasn't quite a fan of that. And Roger says, well, you need to go over there and try it again and do the grill. And really kind of got me motivated about it. So on Thursday, I went over. And who did I see whenever I walked in? Roger was there. And sat down and ate with him and his worker as well. And in that, just really loved the grill. And they brought the fortune cookies around then as we were concluding, and I broke my fortune cookie open, and they're always good for a good laugh, right? And I broke my fortune cookie open, and here's what my fortune cookie says. I have it right here. This year, your highest priority will be your family. And certainly God comes first, but the family comes right in there. Dad, spend time with your family. Quality time. To let your children know and your wife know how much you love and appreciate them. And that indeed you count them as your greatest blessing that God has given you here upon the face of this earth. But also, fathers, we understand, as is taught in Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 24, that if we love our children and we appreciate them in the way in which we ought to, that we need to discipline them and to recognize that there are times when we must not spare the rod. If we do, we will by all means spoil the child. And for this reason, then, we need to make certain that we are seeking to discipline them according to the ways in which God would have us to do so. But yet at the same time, in all of this, as what we have in Psalms 103 and verse 13, we, in our discipline, need to make certain that we are merciful in the same way in which our God is. Not to be too harsh with them, but rather to express loving kindness towards our family, towards our children, and to let them understand that even though there may be times where we do have to give them the point of correction, but yet at the same time, the reason that we are doing this, according to what we find as a father, and according to what we understand with our Father in Heaven, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 and following, we love them, and that's why we are disciplining them. And fathers, make certain that as we are doing these things, that we are not allowing our emotions to get involved to the point to where we go overboard, but rather that we are doing these things out of love, and that in all things to make certain that they come more in line to where God expects them to be as children. Fathers, be a dad to your children, but also be godly in all things. What does it mean to be godly? All Christians are commanded, as what we learn in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 through 17, to make certain that we are holy. Why? Because God is holy. And what does it mean to be holy? It means that we are to live our lives in an upright and moral manner. It means that not only are we to live our lives in an upright and godly manner as we participate out here in the world and earn a living for our family, but then in like figure, whenever we come home, our children and our spouse needs to see us as a godly person. In all things, then, in like figure, not only do we put God first, but also we will put Christ and His church at the very forefront of everything. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Guys, make certain that your family, your children are able to see that Christ and His church is certainly number one in your life. And you say, Kevin, how am I going to be able to make certain that I accomplish that? Live your life. Live your life as a book before them. As the book before them. So that they can see God living through you every single day. But also fathers, do as what David did in 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 19. David prayed for Solomon, his son. For what? That he would be like God wants him to be, and that he would be successful in leading God's people. God will answer our prayers as we are righteous and live before Him. But also let your children know that you're praying for them. Why? Because it lets them understand that you trust that God is going to work through them to accomplish great things in their life. But also we understand, as is taught in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 2 and 3, that in all of this, as we live our life, our life serves as a letter, as a documentation to the life of Christ. Fathers, make certain that we live our lives in a godly manner. And then in like figure, God wants us to make certain that we understand our role as a leader. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22-32, God commands that the husband is the head of the house. What does it mean to be head of the house? It does not mean that we rule the house with a stick, or that we rule over the house and that we're the dictator of the home. What does it mean that we are the head of the house? Good people, we need to be head of the house the same way in which Jesus Christ is head of the church. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. How is He head of the church? He loved the church and He gave Himself for the church. In these things, then in like figure, we need to realize that we need to give ourselves as the leader of the home for the church and for also those that we are seeking to lead according to godliness. In these things, fathers, and this is a passage we've already looked at, these last two, in Proverbs 22 and verse 6, train up a child in the way he shall go, and when he's old he will not depart from it. We have an opportunity to train our children while they are in our home. When they've left the home, it's too late. Sadly, in most cases. But while we have them in our home, let's take advantage of that time where they do look up to us, where they do respect and honor and love us in unreal manners. Let's take opportunity to train them. And according to what Paul stated in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 6, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We need to be careful as fathers not to provoke the wrath. And somebody says, Kevin, you've already said that I need to discipline my kids. And whenever I discipline my kids, you've got to understand it's going to bring out the wrath. Well, we need to make certain there's a fine line there. We need to make certain that we don't cross that line. And kids understand again that they're not trying to cross that line as a godly father. But also, guys, let's be honest. We know what buttons we can and cannot push oftentimes for the kids. And sometimes we may push those buttons that will bring the wrath of that child. Let's avoid those buttons, amen? Why? So that we will be able to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Nothing at all compares to being a father. Amen? Family, understand that your dad, that your husband always need you to be there and to express your love, to honor and to commit to him. But dads, also let us make certain that we are doing all that God requires out of us to do as fathers, as godly fathers who want to lead their children and their family in the ways of God. Today, if you're here and you're outside of the body of Christ, we want to extend our Lord's invitation to you to submit yourself to be baptized into Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, to repent of your sins, and then to walk in newness of life.